from the Mercy One Studio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you. Join Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Also tune in Sundays at 10:30 a.m. for Be Not Afraid in Spanish. Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.
Good morning and welcome back to Be Not Afraid here on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. I'm Father PJ McManus, in for Father Fabian Moncada, and we have again the Venerable Monsignor Lawrence Beeson. Welcome,
good morning.
Monsignor.
Good morning, Father PJ.
How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, great. It's a beautiful day, nice mild weather, and a lot of snow has melted. So
It has.
Cleared
we,
up.
We might get a touch of fall before winter comes back again.
That's right. Yeah.
We have a topic this morning that is near and dear to both Monsignor and I's hearts, that of the coming Feast of Christ the King. I have the great pleasure presently of being the parish priest at Christ the King, and Monsignor served there many, many years and still comes back to celebrate with us often. He was even there just last evening. So together, let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, whose will it is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe, grant, we pray, that the whole of creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Monsignor, you're not quite old enough to remember when the feast was instituted.
I was thinking about the Feast of Christ the King, though, because the Christ the King parish started in 1940. Mm-hmm. I think that was the year. And Pius XI was the pope from about 1914 to about 1939.
Mm-hmm.
He instituted, his motto was the peace of Christ in the reign of Christ. That, it was in the Latin language.
Right.
But and Bishop Bergen would have been the bishop at that time, and I was thinking, I wonder if maybe it was because of the fact that the newly instituted moved feast of the Christ the King entered into their thought pattern as far as picking that for the...
I'm sure it probably did. I know that I've read in some of the old paperwork that when Father Moriarty was told what he was going to do, that he asked what the name of the new parish would be, and it was Christ the King. And when he told people at Dowling, this what kind of name is that for a parish? And he said, well, I think Christ is better than St. Boniface or something like that, right? But I'm sure, of course, you know, the devotion to Christ under the title of King, especially in its modern incarnation, is all tied up with that period and what was going on. I think, however, it's really providential that the parish received the name Christ the King, and 80 years later, half the parish is Hispanic, most of them Mexican, several of them direct descendants of the martyrs of Mexico. And so since I've come to the parish, I've really tried to stir up devotion to the martyrs of Mexico as kind of patrons for the parish.
That's right.
And to connect them better with the roots of the title.
That's right. And that's a really impressive history. I think that the title Christ the King is something that we really do need in our own modern times, too. I'm just talking about in the present moment, mm-hmm. because of the fact that the reason that Pius XI was concerned about the title Christ the King is the fact that there was a denial of the existence of God. And we know that we see secularism increasing in our world and even in our country today. And so having the idea of Jesus Christ being the King of hearts, the King of our minds, the King of the church. In Christ the King Church, when you look up into the back of the church, up over the choir loft, you see the one symbol that's mm-hmm. in the stained glass windows, and that's the crown.
The crown.
And that's something that I think in our spirituality we need to develop, is the fact our dependence on Christ, and that Christ is really the center of our hearts.
One of the things that I've I'm very struck by the crown in that window as well, which, of course, most of the time only we can see because it's behind everybody else. But so I very deliberately, when I took over, we needed some new vestments because I'm kind of short. And I the set that I chose has that coronation tapestry so that the ministers at the altar have a crown emblazoned on their chest even as they celebrate the Mass, which hopefully in some subtle way keeps before our minds the kingship of Christ. Monsignor, would you care to read from the Gospel for the weekend?
Okay, and we know that this is the Gospel. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "This is Jesus on the cross, suffering, dying. He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So this great reminder right out of the gate that the title Christ the King, the kingship of Christ, is biblical, right? I mean, he receives and glories in the title right at the moment of his own glorification and death, and that the heart of Christ's kingship, Christ reigns from the cross. That it's there that his seat of power comes in the midst of what seems the weakest moment of all.
That's right.
Is the greatest power.
Yes, because here he is, the Son of God and the Messiah, and yet here he's been put to death by the very people that should have realized that he was the Messiah, the King of the King who was to come. And I always think of the two other that were crucified with Jesus, the contrast between them, that the one really placing his trust and confidence in Jesus, the other really rebuking him. And so it's just, for me, I know that's the hope of martyrs. You know, there are many martyrs in the church today. And when they think of their own death and they see how Jesus died, they realize it's not a, you know, it's not a moment of glory in the human sense. It is definitely when we look at it theologically, but in the human sense. That's, and so many of them sure take comfort in the fact that Jesus himself suffered rebukes on the cross. You'd think that people would be praising him, but no, it's just
the
a
other way
low
around.
Moment. That's right.
Christ, the King of the martyrs, the King of our hearts, King of the universe. Friends, remember that we're on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Be not afraid.
Impoverished children break everyone's heart, but poverty seems like such a big problem. What can one person do to make a difference? For 17 years, Blessman International's passion has been to connect the resources of our donors with sustainable programs that impact the lives of impoverished children in South Africa. Our donors are feeding thousands of hungry children every week, providing basic water and sanitation for impoverished communities, and sharing the love of God in practical ways every day. Go to www.blessmaninternational.org and make your donation today.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, Dr. Christine Mulcahy, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Doing what is challenging because it's right. That's Blackbird Investments. In 2013, Blackbird Investments was born from the inspiration of St. Kevin. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird Investments believes in giving buildings a new life. BlackbirdInvest.com. Blackbird Investments. Doing what is challenging because it's right. Right.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Father PJ and Monsignor Beeson talking about the Feast of Christ the King. Friends, Monsignor pointed out to me, and he is dead on, that the preface, that's the part of the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer that happens at Mass, the preface for Christ the King, is among the most beautiful in the whole course of the year. And so we're going to just kind of riff off that a little bit, because several titles are used to talk about Christ and really identify what his kingship consists in. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. So the prayer directed to God the Father. For you anointed your Son, your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, with the oil of gladness, as the eternal priest and king of all creation.
I know that, you know, the whole idea of anointing in some movements in the world today, they really prize anointing, uh-huh. The fact that, and in the sacraments, we know that that's a very important part of the sacrament itself, is the whole idea of anointing. But there's also that spiritual anointing, the coming of the Holy Spirit and carrying out the works of the church. And so when we, in this preface, when it talks about Jesus anointing, it being anointed by the Father, it really has a great impact.
Right. So obviously the anointing of Christ by the Father, the eternal and only begotten Son, anointed by the Father, there's not some sort of eternal oil or chrism vial hanging out in heaven. That's not what we mean. But when we anoint our priests and our kings, this signifies, and as a sacrament, affects that which it signifies, the same sort of thing that happened in the relationship between the Father and the Son. So that as the Father pours himself out to the Son and gives him his mission in the world, so when our priests and kings are anointed, you could even say sort of by extension, when our elected leaders take their office and make their oaths to the people and to Almighty God, that they likewise, there's an exchange of persons that takes place. And that exchange of persons, when rightly accepted, affects a mission. So that we're given a purpose.
A little footnote that Archbishop Jakels referred to that with the consecration of Bishop Johnson. Yes, and it was very pointed.
Very, very pointed. You know, one of the things I think a lot of our political rulers would do well to remember is that, you know, if you look even back at the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, the coronation garments of European nobles, they're vested in a dalmatic.
Oh, right.
So that there was this sense to exercise office over people in the civil sphere, to be a king or a governor or a ruler, is really a sacred office.
That's right. Given to us by God.
Given to us by God, and therefore the moral responsibility to the people is like that of a priest to his people or a bishop
his
people.
That's right.
The tie between priesthood and kingship is important. You know, Christ is the eternal priest and the king of creation, so that his lordship over creation is intimately tied, is identical in some ways with the self-offering which he makes as a priest.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Then the prayer goes on to articulate what this looks like, so that by offering himself on the altar of the cross as a spotless sacrifice to bring us peace, he might accomplish the mysteries of human redemption. So the sacrifice of Christ, for a lot of reasons, that language of sacrifice kind of got lost in our common language for a while. But I think the New Missal and other things have helped us kind of kind of recover some of that, that the sacrifice of Christ is absolutely essential to understanding who he is. It's not some sort of accidental feature of Jesus' life, like he sort of bumbled into crucifixion or something. But that just as the Father eternally gives himself to the Son and the Son to the Father, so the Son gives himself to us in his sacrifice on the cross, and that this is ultimately the only way to really understand what we do at every Mass.
That's right. And it's definitely brought out by this, the Mass of Christ the King, that the gospel itself, you know, Jesus on the cross, suffering for us, is like you say, it's not an accident. It's really done because in obedience to the Father, I have come to fulfill my Father's will, Jesus tells us.
And his kingship is sort of realized in that great moment. I mean, it's the most counterintuitive thing that you could do. We couldn't write the story this way, right? But it winds up being the greatest story ever told. And by making all created things subject to his rule, he might present to the immensity of your majesty an eternal and universal kingdom. So that what Christ does, by being made subject to Christ's rule, we're taken up in the offering and offered back to the Father as a living sacrifice. So that the sacrifice of Christ isn't apart from us, it rather takes us in. And then all the sufferings that we endure in life are made meaningful, eternally meaningful, because of the relationship which we now have with God.
I always think of the 2,000 years, you know, that that's a long reach, but that's the reach that just exactly what he's talking about is the fact that we're invited into his very sacrifice.
I was very struck yesterday. I celebrated a funeral mass, and of course the funeral rites paralleling the rites of baptism, right? We're carried into the church, as most of us are carried into the church at baptism. We're covered again in the water. We're clothed with a white garment. We're set next to the candle. And then we're laid right next to the altar. And you know, when the gifts are incensed, and then later when the casket is incensed, the body of the deceased, it's as though all the sacrifices that person made in life are now caught up in the same cloud of smoke, the same burnt offering that's offered to the Father. And then the prayer describes the content of the kingdom, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, of love, and of peace.
When we think about kingdom, I think you had mentioned when we were talking about the fact that we're not trying to reestablish the kingship,
the monarchy,
but rather that's the kind of kingdom it is. It's a kingdom of relationship rather than a kingdom of power. There is power, but it really is a kingdom of relationships, that where it's a kingdom of holiness and grace and a kingdom of justice and peace. And we know those are the qualities that we'd really search for in today's world.
The great difference, it seems to me, in the kingship and the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom and the kingship of the world is that while all things are to be brought under the rule of Christ, it's a generous rule. It's a voluntary rule. The kingdoms of the world, even the best ones, have to exercise some measure of coercion by way of taxation and military protection and that kind of thing, right? But the kingdom of Christ is, in this sense, utterly passive. He commands nothing but demands everything.
That's right.
and so then what happens is, right, our wills are finally able to be aligned aright, so that we finally want the right things and so are able to accomplish the right things.
Through His grace. That's right.
Remember that we're on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Be not afraid.
Why do folks give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? Probably because they love Catholic schools, right? Partially, but they also like the tax benefits, or they were helped when their kids were in school, or they have been blessed and want to bless others. Whatever the reason, the 65% tax credits are great, and after all, it's for the kids and their future. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
Thank you, R&R Realty Group, for supporting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. R&R Realty Group is an Iowa commercial real estate owner and developer that provides services for all commercial real estate needs, including brokerage, interior space planning, real estate management, construction, and more. R&R Realty Group has been accommodating business expansions and real estate solutions since 1985, solving commercial real estate needs. R&R Realty Group, establishing long-term relationships built on trust.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports 365 is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic, with two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling Catholic graduate, and Dr. Todd Pedig. The Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at Ashworth and 60th Street in West Des Moines, 515-440-4610. Online at ashworthvision.com.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Father PJ and Monsignor Beeson, exploring, of course, the great coming feast of Christ the King.
And at the meeting last night, there was great enthusiasm about the Feast of Christ the King coming up. I think there's some parish activities that
there is. You know, one of the difficulties, and it's just practical, but I was a little disappointed when I first came to the parish because there wasn't really much that happened for the Feast of Christ the King. And I understand better why now, because the way the calendar falls, the feast is always going to be either the weekend before or the weekend after Thanksgiving. And that's a horrible time to try and do anything in a parish. And it's especially a bad time to try and get people to cook extra things because they're already going to be cooking all week for the Thanksgiving meal. What we did last year when it was the weekend after was we kind of tried to get people to repurpose their leftovers and make that the food. But, you know, this year what we're doing, we'll have the regular round of parish masses, except that the 11 o'clock mass at Christ the King there at 9th and Porter, 9th and Wall on the south side, we'll be having sort of an especially big do. We've invited members of St. Anthony's to come down, Monsignor Chido. Since St. Anthony's is sort of the mother parish of Christ the King, Monsignor Chido will be preaching for us about the social reign of Christ the King. And then we'll have a procession with the Blessed Sacrament immediately following Mass, and then a great big potluck, which is designed to celebrate all of the many cultures and histories and families that that make up the life of the parish there on the south side.
I think that it's interesting to think about the outreach of parishes at this time of year. And, you know, we were talking about the reign of Jesus being the reign in society, the reign in society. And so parishes are doing things like Thanksgiving baskets and visiting shut-ins, making sure that everyone has some kind of a Thanksgiving. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful time of the year. And as you say, to try to fit in another big celebration is difficult. But I think people really are flexible and they get into it. And it's besides that, there are some who don't really, might not have so much a family Thanksgiving, and so having a parish Thanksgiving really, and you know, I realize this is the Feast of Christ the King we're talking about, but also it fits right into
that
whole atmosphere.
This is really, I think, a very clear expression, Monsignor, of what we talked about on the break, that the reign of Christ as King isn't simply metaphorical. It's not only moral or spiritual, but there's a social dimension to the reign of Christ the King, and that we exercise and further the reign of Christ every time we exercise the corporal or the spiritual works of mercy. And so that care for the poor, the whole of the Church's social doctrine, all of that is really about the practical ways in which we employ the kingship of Christ in the world today.
And we have to be socially alert, too. I know the bishops had the meeting in Baltimore, and they were getting ready political responsibility, which is a document that helps people think about the whole process of election. And it's important that we as Catholics and as Christians realize that we need to bring to bear on our vote and our thinking the social doctrine of the Church, and keeping it in the concept of the Feast of Christ the King, that we want to bring about the kingdom of Christ here on this earth, mm-hmm. and that it's going to have certain characteristics that may not be totally in accord with what is being put out today for the world to consider.
I think part of the great moral obligation that we Catholics have to form our young people is not simply so that we can be some sort of a quiet remnant, like a liturgical Amish people or something like this, but that we should be forming the next generation of political candidates and political parties to be able to form and shape the country, not as a theocracy necessarily, but employing the sort of principles which most naturally bring the society under the subjection of Christ. You know, Aristotle says the good society is the one in which it's easy to do and be good. Well, the more you legitimize illicit behavior, the harder it is to be good. You want to incentivize good behavior and disincentivize bad behavior, and we've tended to do the opposite, and that causes all kinds of social problems.
And I know Tom Chapman has mentioned before in the Iowa Catholic Conference, he said, it certainly makes a difference when you walk into a politician's office if they understand what the Catholic Church is about and what we stand for and why we stand. And that takes a lot of education on our part. We really do have to put the information out there about why there is a big why we do uh-huh. we do why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do, and we need to get that out there so that people can really hear it and understand it and then put it into practice.
Right. That's exactly right. Monsignor, how can we strive, because the reign of Christ the King always begins in the individual soul. St. Dismas, the good thief there in the gospel, of course, seeks to enter into Christ's kingdom even as the Lord is dying. How can we make Christ properly king of our hearts?
You know, it's very important for us to, you know, the business of pray always, that you know, he's not going to be able to get into our hearts if we're never quiet, if we're never listening. And part of prayer is listening, and then to actually pray too, and ask Jesus to enter into our life, enter into our hearts, to reveal himself to us, to show us himself so that we can understand and we can follow him. And then to group ourselves with others. That's why we need community, so right. that we celebrate together as community, because of the fact salvation is not just for the individual, but it's the individual that's part of the community. And as we read the scriptures, we know that it's Jesus died for each one of us, but he died for us as a people.
As a people.
Yeah. And so to try to realize and to increase our meditation and prayer about these parts of our life is a way, I think, of getting ready for the Feast of Christ the King and, of course, the end time when we ourselves will go into the kingdom.
Very good. Monsignor, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us this day. Remember, friends, that this is Be Not Afraid on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Father Fabian should be back with us next week. I myself will be away, so we'll see what he manages to pull out of the hat for next week. In the meantime, Monsignor, would you give us your blessing?
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon Iowa Catholic Radio, its sponsors, its supporters, its listeners, anyone that's connected with Iowa Catholic Radio in any way.
Amen. Be not afraid.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you. Join Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Also tune in Sundays at 10:30 a.m. for Be Not Afraid in Spanish. So go forward and be not afraid.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.